Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
All right. Welcome, Erica and Christy Ray of Honeyhead, a local production company shaking up the film industry since 2016. Am I right, girls?
You got it.
It's close to my own heart. Honeyhead is bent on producing authentic narratives in the film industry, not a bunch of fluffy stuff.
Oh, fluffy stuff.
But fluffy stuff probably pays the bills, so they got to do some of that too. Ladies, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us. We're really stoked to talk with you.
Oh, getting used to not looking at y'all while I'm talking.
This is terrible.
I'm having a podcast with the horse over here in the corner.
Yeah.
It's really great to
Did
be
you
here.
Set her up over there?
Well, here's the deal. Okay, for you guys, for you listeners that aren't seeing what's going on right now, we have Christy Ray on the junky mic. Okay?
Okay.
Jank.
She's got the janky mic. And so we had her set up on the little stool, but since she's more soft-spoken than... Well, definitely the Laurel.
Yeah. It's my own fault.
We stuck her on the table and it actually sounds good, but she's facing away from us.
Her mic sounds excellent. I feel like there's a god.
When you potential. When you take a breath, make sure you turn around to smile at us once in a while.
I told her let's just hold the mic, right? But then she was afraid she might mess it up, I think.
I think you should hold the mic.
Hold
All
it.
Right.
Hold it.
Hold it. Hold
you don't do no extra work. Here I am.
Hi, ladies.
Hey.
There she is. A lot better to be here now.
So you guys will hear some mic noises.
Okay.
Since she's holding it. But we're not going to cry about that, right?
No.
I'm actually not going to move, so they're not going to hear
Yeah, don't move. Don't
Her
even
arms are locked in place.
We're going to test your skills.
She's going to be buff as crap at the end of this podcast.
Human C-stand.
Okay, ladies, okay. In case you don't know the format of Post Session Podcast, we begin with Post Session Notes.
All right.
Right?
You going to start?
Yeah, I'm going to start.
Okay, some Post Session Notes.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we did in the water this week, or the ocean, or the lake, or anything close. Maybe if you daydreamed or have a screensaver, that works. So, been doing some surfing the last few weeks, actually, and I got to see a little shark. Jump out of the water 2 days ago.
Like a little spinner?
A little, I don't know if it was a spinner. He was bigger than a spinner.
Uh-huh.
He didn't shoot out. He just kind of came out, you know, like the whale doing the flip on the belly.
Oh.
Yeah.
How big was he?
He was like 4 feet, I think.
Okay.
So an immature baby.
Maybe a little sand tiger.
Okay.
Oh, and then they're in the surf a lot.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was right at the south end.
Nice.
By the pier. So
you going to make sure you don't go there?
I mean, there's more sharks than anything. Yeah.
Well, I feel like they're not there to mess with you. And it is glorious just to see that, you know, it's kind of awe-inducing when I see something. Even the dolphin, you know, just a large animal in the water. You're like, whoa.
It's good to know cool. they're still out there. You know, sometimes I think about that with animals and you're like, I'm glad they're still coexisting with us. It's good to see evidence of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty still. We're going to do an episode about close encounters. And we're going to talk about sharks, dolphins. I'm going to talk about whale sharks. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. It's going to be good.
Fine.
Well, what are my post-session notes? I didn't see any shark. I haven't been surfing.
Well, let's see. You have here nothing.
Yeah, I basically wrote nothing because I have nothing. I might be going to the Virgin Islands in February, though, to work.
Well... do a dive class, right?
Yeah, the guy was selling it to me, too. He's like, oh, yeah, if you want to come and, you know, kind of do the island thing. And I'm thinking, man, that's going to be work. That's going to be a lot of work. So you know what I did, Honeyhead? I set a price and told him
Good girl.
This was going to take. Just throwing it in there.
We were supposed to go to Jamaica next week for this film that we just wrapped. So we're kind of in post for a movie now. Which is not the same as, not the same post session, but you know, post production.
Post production session.
Yeah. But there wasn't quite enough budget to get us there. It's a lot of quarantining and a lot of, you know, the COVID action happening over there. So we decided to sit this one out and they're gonna be producing it from afar, which is okay.
Well, that's a bummer because otherwise you could get there relatively inexpensively.
Yeah. So did y'all do any, all the shooting was here then?
We shot actually a lot of interior Jamaica. We cheated for the U.S. I found an Airbnb that had tile floors and it looked really Caribbean. So we were able to do a lot of the interiors here, and we wrapped on Thursday.
I love Jamaica.
Never been. Erica went as a kid, but I haven't, I haven't been yet.
When I was like 12. Yeah, it was really beautiful. People are really friendly.
Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. Yeah, people are awesome, but it's also, you know, it's a country that isn't extremely wealthy. I don't want to say everybody's destitute. So there's crime and this kind of thing, too, in places. But I guess you just don't go to those places.
We learned a lot about just the actual culture of Jamaica working on this movie and, you know, took away our own kind of
preconceived.
Yeah, they got squashed. You know, we assumed reading the script it was going to be this way and the house should look this way. And they give us examples of what these characters, you know, they're upwardly mobile real estate agents and what a Jamaican flat really looks like. Mm-hmm. It's really modern. It feels kind of Swedish inspired. It's really different than what I expected. Reading the script, you know, you have your own ideas about what you think it looks like in Jamaica, and we were very wrong. So it was really enlightening.
So you're in your film, or in the film, they were maybe upper middle class. Yeah, because I would say I don't know where we go in Jamaica. There's not a lot of Swedish inspired flats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably the touristy areas. You know, the EP and the a couple of the lead actors are from Jamaica, and now they live in the U.S. And they all say these jokes about there's three professions in Jamaica. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a professor, or a disgrace to your family. So there's these like expectations in Jamaican culture that you will be upwardly mobile and you will be successful, or you can kind of get lost. So that wasn't something I really knew about the country, and we definitely learned.
Where are they from?
So many other things. Kingston.
Oh, from Kingston. Okay.
Kingston. Da-da. Oh, we gotta put some Jamaica music.
Oh yeah,
on the
we'll get Ren all over it. Ren loves Jamaica. He's gonna love to hear. Yeah.
How about you, Erica? Any post? Well, I mean, I feel like y'all's island production counts as post-session notes.
Wait, do they? We don't know. Do you guys surf or dive? Maybe. Just be honest.
Not really. Love the water. Put a pair of fins on me and I'll go anywhere. But it's more just for myself, kind of being in the water. But don't do a whole lot of surfing, and got scuba certified when I was in college.
Okay.
Which was a lot of fun. But I kind of just prefer to be free in the water. So
yeah,
I think she sounds like diving. A candidate for one of Ashlew's classes.
Yeah.
Talk about free. Tell her
do
what
you know
it means.
What, do you know what I do? A little bit.
Talked a little bit. Yeah, we've talked a little bit about it.
Oh, we breath hold dive.
Yeah.
So it's basically, you know, if you like the scuba experience, you'll love free diving. That's what I think about it. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes we explain to our classes, especially when we have a lot of scuba divers in there, that you can like tear through the woods on a four-wheeler and it's going to be so much fun. Or you can park the four-wheeler and just kind of cruise in with a backpack and you're going to see, you know, differently. You're going to have a different experience, a different engagement with the wildlife. And so freediving is kind of like that.
That's a huge metaphor. That's really awesome. You're just unencumbered by anything.
That's right.
You're moving at a real body pace. Yeah.
More part of the environment instead of an observer. Yeah, it's neat.
That's what I found about scuba that was interesting, was there's so much to think about with your equipment and all of that. I was more focused on that than I was on the actual experience of being underwater. And so anytime I've been back, mostly in Hawaii or places like that where you can just go out and the water is so deep and clear and you can just put on a pair of fins and just explore and go and just be with the ocean. That's how and just listen to your body and know what needs to happen to get back to the surface and all of that. That just, I was much more called to that than all of the equipment and the tanks and things like that.
I get it. There's a serious learning curve with the equipment. I mean, people that do it a lot, that goes away.
Yeah.
And they're able to just, you know, through second nature, rig their stuff up and go. But still, you still got all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where your kids just go in.
They just go in.
And they just go.
apply. So, did we cover post-session news?
I think we did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we go into the injustice of the week?
Well, I'm curious. Did the honeys bring?
Did you do your homework?
An injustice of the week.
It seems, you know, our entire platform for what we founded our company on is like solving an injustice, but we didn't specifically talk about what to bring to the table. I think we're always kind of on the same page. We were discussing with y'all before we started, you know,
that's kind the of injustice,
our own personal injustice. And I guess maybe we could tell everybody what we do a little bit. Yeah. So it has some context. Mm-hmm. But we're an all-female production company, and we founded in 2016 on a mission to level the playing field for underrepresented characters and female filmmakers. And we found through that there's a lot of support, you know, from both sides of the table, from men and women. But something we're personally dealing with this week is actually being valued and compensated for the creativity and the work we bring to the table as women. We know how to get organized. We know how to get a project off the ground. But sometimes it can feel like you're undervalued. And if you can't find your voice as a woman to stand up for what your time is worth and what you bring to the table, you become really swamped and overwhelmed. So that's sort of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times people think about production and they think about when you walk on set day one and you start filming, cameras are rolling, you know, actors are there, crew is there. And when people break down a budget, a lot of times, especially in the indie world, they don't account for prep or even post sometimes. Mm. You a lot of times you get, you know, independent filmmakers that come to you with a budget for production, and that's right. The main focus is how are we going to get from day one to the final day and wrap and just have it all in the can, so to speak. And a monstrous part of the work goes into prep, and not being compensated for that is something that we're encountering is a hindrance to being able to move forward into this independent narrative studio model that we're finessing right now as a company, is being able to create sustainable independent mm-hmm. film in Wilmington. And that's something we're learning, is that a huge part of that is building
sustainability. Budget,
sustainability. Mm-hmm. A huge part of the mm-hmm. sustainability is not just sustainability for independent film, but sustainability for us to be able to bring our talents to the table and create this environment where creators can come with their ideas and their projects. And there's a mutual understanding of what they get by working with us, and then what we need to get out of that, and how we need to be compensated to bring our talents and the small footprint model to their project.
Well, I kind of think of it like, you know, if you're a private chef and you're making a meal, you got to get paid for going grocery shopping.
Yeah. And the
planning. Yeah. So I guess my question on that, which is an injustice either way, but my question maybe to Christy Ray is, you mentioned as women being valued, but would this be any production, you know, any small production company? Here comes a, you know, a person with a project, a pet project, and says, this is what we have and I can pay from this to this, but they've negated to, or maybe they don't even know what the value of the pre-production or what that looks like because they're inexperienced. Or do you feel like it is because you're a woman?
I don't think it's directly targeted at us because we're women. I think the injustice comes from our own accord as women, not necessarily stepping into and recognizing how to speak up for yourself. And that's something we're learning every day. I mean, we've been doing this for 5 years, and every day there's a takeaway. And we've come a long way since it all started. But there's so much of you just wanting to prove yourself constantly. So mm-hmm. wanting to say yes to every opportunity that could create other opportunities for other people and for yourself. And sometimes just getting swamped in the being a yes girl in that way. Mm-hmm. So learning how to, like, it's empowering, right? To say no, I think, and finding your boundaries and setting up a wall and being able to say, no, this needs to be tabled, or this is why. And being able to find that with grace and explain it to people in a way that they understand that you value what they're asking of you and you value yourself. I think it's
and
not.
And that you value mm-hmm. their project mm-hmm. enough to mm-hmm. bring all that you can bring.
And not let it crumble. Yeah. It's not a hard line you're drawing in the sand saying, we're all about the dollar. And it might feel that way sometimes, especially as artists. But if we want to kind of dispel this moniker of starving artists, we got to pay people to do the work.
And we don't have a day job, you know, so that's something that's great. It's exciting, but it's scary when you don't have anything else to float the boat and, you know, you've got overhead and things like that. So just finding a balance, that's our own personal battle. But thanks for letting us unload about it.
Hey, I've got a little etiquette tip out there for our listeners.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're friends with somebody that offers a service, or if you are so neck deep in your own project that is homegrown, right out of the gate, low budget, it is rude to expect somebody else to take on your financial burden. It's not a nice thing to do. Okay, so if you are, you know, if you and Don want to take a freediving class, well, I'll give you a free freediving class. That's a little different. But anyway, expect to pay your friends because that's how they make a living.
Especially when that's how they make a living.
That's right.
I see a lot of people sharing things like that, you know, how to support small business, even if you don't want to buy X, Y, and Z. But do support your, there's so many people here in Wilmington that, that are makers or, you know, craftsmen, craftswomen. We've got artists, we've got musicians. It's like pay up for that kind of thing. Go to their shows, buy their merch, do that, because we live in a really creative, thriving town where people are doing their own thing. And it's not able to keep going unless we all contribute and support that.
And it will die and it'll just die. Be Amazon if we don't.
Exactly. My husband and I quit Amazon during the pandemic out of just sheer guilt for not supporting locally. Mm-hmm. You can get everything. It's just a little bit harder. And it was scary. It was like, why is it scary to quit Amazon? The convenience. How am I going to go out and find X, Y, and Z? Well, there's definitely places and they probably need your business more than Jeff, you know?
It is harder. Yeah. It is harder though. Yeah, like Christmas shopping without Amazon kind of sucks because it involves traffic.
Right.
And all those other things. But you're right. That's a good point.
That could be some homework for later.
I think it's worthwhile. Challenge. It's worthwhile to invest in locals, and also remember that just because someone is creative doesn't mean that they'll just do their work because they love it. It's great that they're working at something that they love, but it also has value. And I think that that's something that we're learning, and that I think it's important, like you said, your PSA for listeners out there is that when you have friends who offer a service, especially a creative service, it's sometimes not necessarily seen as something, you know, valuable because you love to do it. So I assume because you love to do it, you'll take your camera out and do the, you know, shoot these photos for me, or, you know, do this video for me. And it's like, well, but this is our that's job, right, and our livelihood.
And you're not my mom.
And it's never malicious. It's never with bad intent that people ask that. I think it's just a misconception. And I feel like post-pandemic, with people getting to work from home and taking a step back from a corporate grind, I feel like there's a lot of movement towards people working for themselves and figuring out what their passion is. So hopefully as a society, we can move into this space of understanding that when you work for yourself, especially in a creative capacity, there's a lot of value to that, and it's a viable career option. So I feel like I've seen that pattern happening, especially in the creative space or the work for yourself space and doing your thing.
Entrepreneurship.
And let's face it, you got to pay your doctor when you go to the doctor, right?
Right.
They like cutting people open. You can't not pay them just because they enjoy cutting people open.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's flesh
that. It to us that way. Okay. Yeah. Flesh that. Flesh, let's flesh it. That. Quick.
Ren, add the flushing.
Okay. So we're going to dive deeper.
Yes.
Girl?
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, I feel like we haven't given the girls an ample opportunity to kind of talk and start. So let's get going. Why don't you guys just give our listeners an idea of how you got started, just a little short, you know, whatever. And did you have day jobs before you got going with Honeyhead? It started as a pet project. How did it evolve? Have you always been neck deep in film production?
Oh, did we have day jobs?
Oh, we had many day jobs.
All right, 60-second origin and go.
Well, the story is we met on Craigslist. That's the best part.
Super weird.
First and last time. Christy and I were actresses before we turned into Honeyhead Films, before we became filmmakers. We were both in front of the camera, and I took a step back and decided I wanted to write and direct my first film and put out a casting call, the first and last casting call ever on Craigslist. Never put a casting call there. Don't know what I was thinking, but Christy submitted for this role we were casting for. She was perfect for it. She's excellent. And we met when she showed up on set the night before the first day.
The night before the first day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were shooting in Curry Beach at the beach house. We met by the ocean.
This is tying it back in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Full circle.
The movie's called 33 North 77 West, so the coordinates
perfect.
Curry Beach.
Yeah.
And that was what, 2016 January. Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of kicking it ever since and moved in together and started a, you know, journey immediately, like branding, becoming a blonde female production company. It's like naturally going to be called Honeyhead Films. And we were really good at getting organized, right? Like doing all that pre-production. And it, of course, at first it was just passion. Everything was self-funded. We were paying everybody. Erica really financed the movie, the first film, Somnium, just out of pocket while we were doing these day jobs. And they were ridiculous, y'all. I was like a twerking Elsa for birthday parties.
No.
I worked as Santa's elf at the mall. Oh, she was the cheese lady.
I was the cheese girl.
She was washing dogs. Like we were the queen of the odd jobs to make it happen.
Those aren't day jobs. Those are like yeah, legit odd jobs.
We have a list.
Oh yeah,
you know?
cleaned houses,
but
worked at a dog kennel.
We gotta rewind. I just wanna say I'm a little jealous of you being the cheese girl at Whole Foods.
Wine and cheese.
As you should be. There was a very blessed period in our lives living together when I just would bring home all the random cheese because you could and you were required to try all the cheese.
Yeah.
So I love cheese. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing to be back there in the corner just only talking to people about cheese, chocolate, wine, and beer because what else, you know, what else could you ask for?
Exactly. But
we might have been really poor living in like a trap house on Dock Street for $200 a month, but we had really fancy cheese in the fridge.
We had the fanciest parm you could ask for.
Well, it's not what's on the outside, girls. It's what's on the inside of that fridge. You know what? Don't you miss sometimes the simplicity of just being like regular broke?
I talk about it a lot. We miss those blinding, you know, olden days where it was just
you could make do.
In Territum,
just about the hustle.
You know, maybe there wasn't a budget, right? We weren't stressed about it. Somebody came to us with $1,900 to make their 20-minute short film, and we said, "Let's do it."
Yeah,
because we wanted to. And at that time, we didn't have employees, and there wasn't an office to pay overhead. There was just $150 for each of our rooms. Got it. And go.
Yeah.
How do we pull all these resources together? And that kind of teaching yourself as you go, that mentality, we really are self-taught filmmakers and learned a lot through the 13 or 14, I think we're now on to 14 narrative short films that we've produced in the last 5 years. So
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And we're really proud of all of that. And it was years later that people actually started paying us for our time. But we had to set that precedent, you know, and feel like we owned it and we stepped into that role.
Yeah, I don't think you can jump ship from the odd job right away. A lot of it was us learning our style and learning what we brought to projects and doing that in a stress-free environment because we could take on a free or a passion project or produce our own content because we had other ways to pay the bills. And once you really feel prepared to make that leap and go full-time is when the other stressors of being an entrepreneur and putting on the business hat come in. So we definitely wore the creative hat loud and proud. I would say it was a creative sun hat. It was like the biggest creative sun hat. It was just an all-encompassing. We just wanted to do everything.
Sombrero.
It was.
Yeah.
And
But now it's
putting on the business hat and putting on
the tie.
You know,
it's like
the
a top hat. I feel like it's getting bigger
the
and
Monopoly.
Bigger and bigger. Yeah. We have a joke that we wear all the hats, like all of them,
you
know, 17, 18, 19 hats. But
I think that makes you a good filmmaker, though, is being under, you know, with this short film we just wrapped. And Christy said, I need you to be the first AD, which is basically the first assistant director, and that's I like to use the analogy of like it's the stage manager of a film. Mm-hmm. So
it's the law. You're the cop. It's the law.
Keeping the time kind of in schedule and all of that. And I said, sure, I can do that. It's not normally what I do. Normally Christy is kind of running the production, so to speak, in that way for things that we do. But it's something I've done before, and I feel confident doing that and being able to step into that. But you know, for the most part, I'm behind the camera for our productions, and but knowing how to do that and feeling prepared to do that, I think that there are many jobs that someone could ask either one of us to fill, and we would do them with, I feel, ease and grace at the end of the day, because we just know how, and that really, really makes a difference.
Well, I was gonna say, for our audience who may not know, so on a normal film that has a full budget, you would have your director, and then you'd have your first assistant director, is what you are talking about. Mm-hmm. But then you'd have the second assistant director, and the second assistant director. And then you're going to have a whole production assistant team who's managing all those things. So I'm pretty sure, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, that as the first AD, you probably didn't have that full team.
It was just myself, and then Christy was the UPM for that project, and she also produced the film.
And
so I was boots on the ground on the day.
We had a KPA every day, and we had our assistant Sam too. So honestly, you're right, Laurel. We had about, you know, 1/16th of that normal team, right. And this was a luxurious set for us to be able to pay all those people to be there. It's not normal that somebody would come to us with a budget to be able to accommodate that. Mm-hmm. And at Honeyhead, we create shadowing opportunities too. So we had UNCW interns on set with us every day,
great.
And mm-hmm. they come out and they work as hard as anybody else, and they're just there to get their credit and have a little bit of experience in a safe learning environment. And they all showed up and were wonderful and amazing. So we try to fill in the gaps with young green filmmakers who need their first foot in the door, sure. and want to make a connection on their project too.
I feel like a quintessential moment is in 2019 we got to collaborate with Striking Copper, their local
them.
band.
Yeah,
so we made 4 music videos for them, and I feel like the behind the scenes photos from that is just quintessential Honeyhead. It's a lot of times just Christy and myself. Sometimes we have a flock of interns behind us, but like for the most part,
on an island,
I'm
in
there
the woods,
holding the camera, and Christy's there pointing at whoever's in front of the camera to do this or that, you know, and giving them direction. And it's pretty hilarious. And
I'm like
spoil island
the speaker. We're like out on a John boat. We brought 31
in the grass.
People onto that island across from Mott's Channel Seafood.
Wait, you transported everybody via the John boat?
Oh yeah.
See, it can work.
It's doable.
Y'all, we want to talk about your project soon. That it's doable. You want a janky way to do it?
We got a janky way.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is being unencumbered by those traditional roles and thinking, okay, you need all of these people, otherwise we can't make it happen. It's just a matter of, if we had all those people, it'd be a luxury, and think about what more we could do. But we can do it, just Christy and myself. And I mm-hmm. think that is part of the magic, is knowing that you can, there's certain ways to follow a rule book when it comes to filmmaking, but a lot of times we just throw it out the window and we say, we're just going to make this because we're passionate, and there's no right way to make a film or make a project, in my opinion.
Well, it frees you up to make things that you wouldn't be able to do for mm-hmm. sure without more money.
And also, it's out of necessity. I mean,
that indie grit,
otherwise you're
right?
not going to be Honeyhead if you're not willing to just go and do
make it happen, yeah.
Because there's no other option, which is good, because, you know, just like raw, honest, organic growth is best, because there's only upward mobility coming from that kind of growth.
I did want y'all to tell that story you told us at the roastery that morning about you had one of your earlier projects, I guess, and you've got these people that you've hired, and there was men and women hired, but then on the morning of shooting, something happened, or something didn't happen.
The first movie, this was called Somnium. This is, yeah, you tell the story, Eric.
This is a film that I wrote and directed and wrote for Christie and a friend of ours. His name's Victor Rivera. He's a very successful actor in Atlanta now, kind of character actor. And it was about dreamscapes. We just had a whole conversation about dreaming. And so it was kind of this sort of cerebral short, but we produced it in a couple of days and hired a crew to come out, men and women. And our behind the scenes photographer at the time, Katie McTiernan, she's a really excellent photographer, kind of photojournalistic style. And she came out with her film camera and was taking behind the scenes photos of the whole production, which are really some precious stills that we still have today. And there's a photo of us in our third, we originally had a third founding partner. Her name is Devin, and she's a dear friend of ours still. And it's the morning of, was the it last the last day of production? And we're upstairs on this kind of balcony porch to Christie's old apartment where we shot the film. And it's myself, Christie, and Devin. And we're standing there on the railing, leaning out and looking down the driveway, waiting. Mm-hmm. And
it
we're waiting
like
on
10 a.m. Right?
It was like 10 a.m.
9.
And we're waiting on the men. Literally every male crew member was an hour late. And
but our sound girl, our boom girl, our BTS girl, all of the women on set had been there, and they showed up either at 9 or before. And it was an hour of us being like, well, where's the camera? Where's our grip and electric? Where's, I guess that was it.
Womp womp.
They, I mean, nothing. I like, whatever, those guys. They're still our friends if y'all are listening. Love you, mean it. But you learned your lesson because we never hired you again.
It was just, it was funny. What happened? I mean, we're, you know, and they just, I think sometimes with these indie projects, and they were being paid not a, you know, it not was kind of a rate, stipend, obviously not a regular rate, but they were being paid. And so I think that there's just, I don't know, there's a level of respect and professionalism that you bring when you commit to a project, regardless of the scale of the budget that you can bring. And mm-hmm. I think that they would just assume that since we were, you know, it was lower rates and we were pals and it was an indie, that they didn't need to be on time and treat it like a real production. And I feel like that it was just a learning curve for us and learning.
It was a spark. It wasn't a learning curve. True. That's what made us say, hey, we can do this. And we don't necessarily need these men. Erica said, you know what? I got a camera. I can just shoot the dang thing. And she didn't, you know, reshoot the movie on the last day. But the next project, guess who was the DP?
Erica.
Guess who taught herself everything she knows?
Erica.
Guess who edited the film because whoever said they were going to didn't?
Erica.
And then we became Honeyhead Films because we didn't want to be waiting on the men. And if the men wanted to join us, they were more than welcome, but they better be on time because all the girls were. So that was the learning experience there. And we're not anti-men. We have a male editor that works at Honeyhead. There's one of four is a boy. And we love men. They help us do a lot of wonderful things. But we can and we do it alone with just women too.
And actually it was a good thing that it happened because it was a catalyst for you guys in it. Like you said, that spark that ignited something.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of, in being in a male dominated industry, I think it's easier to defer to men that have more experience, or it'd be easier to just not learn how to shoot and hire a male DP because there are just more of them. But I think that it's important, and it's important to champion women in this industry because so often they get left behind, or they get left behind in hair and makeup, or wardrobe, which is not a bad thing if that's what you're passionate about. But so often, especially our female interns that come to us from a school environment, have been slighted and pushed aside and, you know, kind of told no, not necessarily by their professors, but by their male classmates, whether or not they believe it, understand that they're doing it or not. But it's like, oh, well, I'm a man, so obviously I'll be operating the camera on this production, and you can be the PA or the assistant director or the hair and makeup gal.
Whatevs.
You know, giving.
That's why we're starting our summer camp. Yeah. Shoot like a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a girl surf camps in town. I think that's wonderful and really important. And I don't think you can always, or you always have to divide the sexes, but I think giving girls a safe environment to become their best versions of themselves, especially in film, where they can become hireable and desirable, I think that is what, I know that's our passion and what we want to do, so that when these high school gals are joining university life, they already have the footing and the technical skills to be able to pick up the camera with confidence, so they don't get overrun.
I'll say, as a, you know, when I worked in film, I was a camera assistant. I started as an intern. So I shuffled that monitor around for, you know, whatever. And then loading second AC, and that was definitely a male-dominated group. And I would say that particular department more than any other. And I love the DP that was, how about to get us some coffee? And us, by us, it means me, go get you coffee. But that's probably the norm as any young person in the group. But just like with, you know, our little short thing that we're doing, I really wanted to have a person of color that surfed. And that visibility. So I do think there's something to be said for, if you didn't ever see, if you're visiting a set and all you see are, oh, women in this department or women in this department, it does affect how you see yourself and how well you can visualize yourself and the rest of the film.
For sure. The diversity goes beyond gender. Absolutely.
You know what? Well, it's not really a question. I just want to go back to something that Christy Ray just said about when you were talking about shoot like a girl, because I think sometimes maybe men or other women, people in general will think, well, that in itself is sexist, or, you know, you're why divide the genders and this and that? And I'm also in a male dominated industry,
too, yeah.
Like hugely. And so when a female comes into my class or is on the scene, you know, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm stoked about it. And it's not because it's not in slight of the men or in spite of the men that are there. It's just that it's so rare. And so I think for women, sometimes it is nice to do shoot like a girl, or maybe dive like a girl can be a thing, whatever. Not to exclude the men, but just to celebrate that here there's this very few of us here, and we're going to help empower each other a little bit also, because it's way more, it's comfortable around other women. You know, it's nice sometimes to be able to,
I'm sure that's what, like, the men say,
take your bra off, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to wear my bra all the
or
time.
Or when you're in such a fragile time, you know, high school, middle school, it's an emotional state, and you have to be able to feel safe to learn. I put myself in their shoes, and I've developed a lot of confidence in the last 5 years doing our thing, being producers. And now men hire us and they come to us for expertise, and that's wonderful, but it wasn't always that way. And we had to really pave a way for ourselves. And I want to do that for other young women, because nobody did it for me. And I think if we can create access and opportunity, that's something we can do to give back and just continue the cycle. So we're not just the one and only ones that came up, you know, doing something about it. I think if people can get on the train and we can create safe environments, it's not going to be a problem in 10 years. There's not going to be less free divers that are women. It's just going to feel like a sport that's equitable for all. And surfing is the same way. You know, I think it's awesome. And I love the movement. And when people say things about it, they can just get over it. There's what is it? Wade Hippo said every other day of the year is shoot like a boy, or a code like a boy day, you know, or dive like a boy day. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a week dedicated to women in film.
Yeah. And I think we have a saying we like to use, that when people talk about gatekeeping in the industry, in the film industry, and I think gatekeeping exists in a lot of other professions, but when you get through the gate, the proverbial gate, and you pass through it and you feel like you're arriving, don't turn around and shut it on other people just because you've made it, hold it open, or just take it off its hinges completely. And I think that providing opportunities for people is a huge mission of our company. I learned to shoot and edit because I was provided an opportunity by a male shooter. He hired me as an intern and had faith in me. I literally knew barely anything. I had taken one course with Final Cut Pro, and he taught me Premiere, and he let us use his camera for the first short film that we were talking about that we use. His name's Terrell.
Is he with Lighthouse?
Terrell Gordy. He has a company called Real Visuals. So major shout out to Terrell for providing me with that opportunity and a safe place to learn. And I feel like that's something that I feel very passionate about giving back to other young women now, because I was provided that. And that's a huge reason why I can offer the skill set to our company that I can and have been able to.
There's your mentor question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got time for one more question, Ashley. I know Mine? You've got. Yeah.
Mine? Mine?
Well, what, you want me to ask the one about
You
their...
get to pick. Yours.
Well, what I'm less interested typically in the nuts and bolts. And more interested in
relationship.
Yeah, the more ethereal side. So I'm wondering, you know, you guys have a huge personal investment in Honeyhead. It's not like, we're just going to start this business and yada, yada, yada. And this is how much we need to make. So this is figuring that out. But, you know, it started as a budding friendship. So I'm wondering how that kind of pressure and working together all the time has affected you guys, especially since we had our first little tiff, riff.
Yeah, after 2 years.
Yeah, first one, really,
like we,
right?
Yeah, hurdled it okay, though.
No, we just basically shoved it under the rug and we kept trying. No, we didn't. But how is that? Because it's very important that you guys stay in good working order, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think holding each other accountable. I say that to people who are especially moving our brains more into the entrepreneur space. I think that having an accountability partner is really important. And also being able to turn off your business brain and just hang out as friends. Or, you know, Christy was like, I need to go to Mexico with my husband and I need to take a break. And I think we're going to do that. I think it was like 2 weeks before you wanted to. You were like, I need to do this. And I was like, you go to Mexico. We got it. We can hold down the fort here. But it's about that honesty and trust and transparency, but not being afraid to have the hard conversations when they need to happen and know that it's not personal. Sometimes I think as women, especially, and as dear friends, we take a lot of things personally and internalize them, and we can sense when the other is feeling off. But knowing that sometimes we just have to talk to each other as business people and put the emotion aside from it and not allow ourselves, it's accountability to each other, but also to yourself to not take things personally. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
But then at the end of the day, I mean, like last night, we stayed late at the office, everybody left, and you know, there's time to just be friends, and we're always friends first. I knew Erica, obviously we met on Craigslist, and then we became best friends, and then we started our company. So there's so much emotional you know, tendrils tied into that, but we don't sweep things under the rug because we can read each other's energy all the time. So there's just no point in pretending like something
isn't
happening.
There's nothing under the rug.
So just having real talk and space to be able to be women and be sensitive and be emotional and cry on each other's shoulders, we always make time for that. And our office is even, you know, men have come into our office and just needed to unload and cry. And we always say, this is a safe place. You be who you are. You know, our studio is safe for that. Share your emotions. And not just men, but I mean, anyone can feel it. It's like, it's a welcoming environment. And
there's a really cool yellow chair,
a nice honey colored chair.
See, our studio is a safe space too, girls.
I felt that when I cried in the kitchen. I'm feeling it, you know, but always keeping the open door for being emotional. And like Erica said, turning off work is really important to us too. Yeah. So we try very hard not to work on weekends and to spend time with each other. Our husbands are best friends. Our dogs are best friends. We're best friends. Our lives are like intertwined and every way they could be. You know, Erica's parents are like my parents. We're all literally always together. So it's having time that's just dedicated to work and then having time that's dedicated to our families and our friendship is really important.
That is great advice. Because you know what? On that project, I felt like we're gonna do a little therapy session right now.
The film project.
Yeah. But between the podcast and the film project, it's all we talked about, we need to schedule some regular old hangout time.
I appreciate it.
Remember when we used to hang out?
We just did. Well, I feel like work, you know, that spoke to me as well. That's exactly what spoke to you. But making sure that, you know, when y'all come over and, you know, we do a dinner, which we haven't done in a while, even just we met for a meeting about podcasts at Casablanca, but we were wrapping it up. And she's like, well, you want to just ride with me to go get some pumpkins? And, you know, and I was like,
she was like, you don't have a job.
Go ahead. Come on.
We had wine yesterday.
And yeah, we watched the kids on the trampoline or play.
No, they didn't. They never went on the trampoline.
Well, they jumped turds. Around.
Total turds.
Anyway. It was a really, you know, it was because with pre-production coming up and it was like a lot of things at once. And so it is definitely something that we've got to remember because like y'all, we were friends first and we share, you know, a spiritual, you know, we both went to church together. We were friends.
My spiritual mentor for a few years before, you know, not anymore. Just joking.
But fell off the pedestal.
We didn't start doing projects together. We just.
Right. Yeah.
So. It's time to tread on into some God waters, I think.
Ooh. Okay.
Don't you?
It feels like a good transition.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid.
Rocking.
Sometimes we nail it.
Too bad I didn't pick a scripture that was relational. It is relational.
Oh, gosh. I should have looked at this beforehand.
I just typed it in. I picked Ephesians 2, verse 10. We always use a scripture as the bulkhead. For we are God's workmanship, or handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Mm-hmm. And that word workmanship, and in some translations, handiwork, it's like a masterpiece. It entails a piece of art. And when I think about our lives and our relationships as well, those two speak of a creator and art, you know, like even managing relationships in business and that finding that balance can also be something that pulls from those things that we learn with art or a painting and that they're balanced in some way. And but especially for, you know, when you we are gifted with different gifts, but when you come into a relationship with God, you know, that's part of this like big surrender, like, okay, I'm going to let go and I'm going to acknowledge that there's some seriously broken, bent pieces of stuff in this life. And God takes that. Just because of the I surrender part, he's able to come in there and through the work of the Holy Spirit, be able to resurrect and redesign this beautiful masterpiece. And it's a picture that another picture, not just masterpiece, but also a fabric. And so when I think about relationships and our relationship vertically, but also horizontally, how letting go allows us to be woven together in this thing that, you know, when you're up close, it's very hard to see sometimes the beauty. Mm-hmm. But if you were to pull back and zoom out to be able to see how beautiful just the intricacies of our lives together.
I think about this all the time. I don't think it's hard to pull back. I feel like I'm always captivated by how entwined every little story and every little thing has a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. I think of it a lot as like a cross stitch. You have one right here. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Oh
yeah.
We shouldn't say what it says right now. Yes, we can.
Welcome to the Poopy Caca Show.
Welcome to the shit.
But on the back of that is just a bunch of knots and mess and yarn and, you know, thread and everything. And you turn it around and it's like, wow, look what God did. Look what God did with all of this, these crazy threads and these things that feel like a maze and you can't find your way out of the spaghetti monster. And it's really, you're being orchestrated to do something really special. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this all the time. It's like, I could never have dreamt that we'd be here doing this and everything that we've built together over the past 5 years. It was never a plan or an intention. We just kind of went with the flow, just along for the ride, riding the wave, you know? And I think about it all the time. I love that verse. I'm glad you picked that. Oh, I think it's relational, and I think it's like in what y'all are doing with your podcast and the lives that you're touching, and you're here just letting life orchestrate you in whatever way you want, mm-hmm. you know, in this room with all these couch cushions on the yeah. wall That's and right. everything.
I love it.
But it takes some courage sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, because we want to control mm-hmm. what's going on and force it. And we want to open the window. We want to shut the door. And we want to do all these things. And sometimes it definitely takes courage to be able to just keep everything open and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And when the opportunity presents itself to walk through, that's especially hard. It's hard for me sometimes to do that. Yeah.
And yeah, not to be so entrenched in one moment. I think that's something, especially for us, is important to always, when you get entrenched in something, step out and try to look at the big picture, mm-hmm. you know, because you might be in something that feels confusing or tangled, and you take a step back and you say, oh no, this is actually, I see the beauty of the bigger picture. And, you know, you might be in a messy part of your life, or, mm-hmm. you know, something doesn't feel great in the moment. And then you take a step back and you say, no, this is always, mm-hmm. that messy moment led me to all these amazing and beautiful mm-hmm. moments. So just remembering to keep faith when you're in those times. And I think that can be personally, that can be professionally, anytime, just remembering to keep that faith in the process and remain open, let go of that need for control all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we can take all of our inspiration from nature mm-hmm. and our philosophy, because I think this is why a lot of marriages and things fail, because people are too tightly zoomed in to the moment and not realizing that everything, that's gross. Everything.
What she did?
I burped twice.
She's burping.
Ugh. Away from the mic.
Don't worry about it.
But there's always an ebb and a flow. There's a day and a night.
An ebb and a flowing.
The tide comes in, the tide goes out, and our life cycle is very similar.
Well, mm. yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always have to zoom back out. Yeah. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys are like this, you and Dawn, but there'll be like a little tension. It might last for a day or two, but then you're like, but then you're so in love again, and you go, oh, well, we just
put on a wider lens.
Yeah, not to be so microscopic with everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sometimes just having sex helps. Ease the tension.
There you go. Sometimes it's hard to force that when there's tension.
You can't force it.
No, you can't force it.
So I will say I'd love to, like, I've got a million more questions, but we're going to wrap it up. And I wanted to say you had just gotten awarded Wilma Women to Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in Wilma Magazine. They have gotten some awards for their film work. Mm-hmm. And I really want to encourage people maybe to go to your website, honeyheadfilms.com,
mm-hmm.
and or check them out on
Instagram
and Facebook, or wherever all you guys are. Anywhere else that
a TikTok?
Our
wonderful assistant yeah. runs that we've never
Fearless
looked
warrior,
at. It. So I won't take credit for it, but Sam and the interns are running that whole Gen X. It's Gen X, right?
That's what we don't want in the water.
XYZ. Yeah. Yeah. No, not Gen Z. I don't know. Those youngins on TikTok.
Yes.
We're fully loaded on all social fronts. We don't do some Twittering, but that's okay.
You know what I'll do? That's old people. You know what I'll do, Laurel?
You'll link them.
Yeah, on the resource page, which I don't know when this one's going to launch, but mm-hmm. I'll put links to all that stuff in, and maybe some of the awards too,
yeah.
like the Wilma stuff, and mm-hmm. we'll have to do some digging, make sure we get
a good
representation.
Stuff.
Yeah, so we'll link it.
Well, I just want to thank you ladies for coming out today.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
It really was a cathartic. I feel a lot better than I did driving.
Awesome.
Driving up to the driveway, for sure. Thanks for letting me shed a tear.
I know that it was probably hard in that moment to slice this time out, you know, so I appreciate that.
We're expert compartmentalizers.
Erica said, well worth it.
Right? Yeah, well worth it.
It's not always great.
Does anybody remember the homework I mentioned earlier that she's talked about that could be homework?
Let me think.
Oh my God.
I don't know. We'll think of it later, because right now we should go eat some goat cheese and persimmons with these girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, podcast supporters. And go surf.
Yeah.
Go or, watch a movie.
Or dive. Or whatever.
Support
or go
your
make
local
movies
filmmakers.
About surfing.
See you next time.
Mm-hmm.